Okay, Batman. Of all the superheroes, Batman's probably one of my favourite superheroes. Now, Superman, he can't do much. I mean, sorry, he can do lots, right? But he's got, like, these special superpowers. What I like about Batman is that he's a normal bloke, and the things that he does are almost believable. Do you know what I mean? Have you seen the latest Batman movie? It was out about a year or so ago. You watch that, and all the materials that he uses are actually real things. So he puts jets on himself, he uses the special material to make his bat wings, he has a real car, because cars are really like that, if you've seen Batman. What I like about Batman is that as you're watching the movie, when you watch Superman, you go, this isn't real, and you don't believe it is, okay? If you've sat there and watched Superman and thought, man, this is real, man, you're off with the pixies. But when you watch Batman, you sit there and you're like, this could almost be real. This could almost be a true story. This could almost be legitimate. Batman is one of my favourites. But you know what? Batman can only control so much. Superman can only control so much. Even with their superpowers, Batman, with his simple powers, they don't control everything. They can't be everywhere at once. They can't see everything. They can't stop everything. As super and as powerful as they are, they're limited in what they have control over. They're limited in the things that they can do. Tonight, we're going to look at our next part of Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to learn some stuff about Super Jesus and actually see how he can do much, much more than Batman. He can do much, much more than Superman. He is the one who's got all things in control. Jesus is the one who's got all things in control. So this term, we've been looking at Super Jesus. And very, very quickly, the context. The book is Colossians. Okay, the book of Colossians. Who was the book of Colossians written by?
Paul.
Who was it written to?
The Colossians,
who were in a place called Colossae, which is similar to, it's the modern day where?
Turkey.
Okay, it's the modern day Turkey. Modern day near where Gallipoli is and so forth. And so the context is that Paul has gone into Colossae. He's told them about Jesus. They've become Christian. They've put their trust in Jesus. Some other clowns, they come along later on and they say, hey, Colossian Christians, fantastic you put your trust in Jesus. Now you've just got to move on to another level. Okay, now you've just got to move on to another experience, a higher level, a higher experience. That's what these other people come in and say. And what does Paul say in his letter? He says, no. You don't need to move on to some other experience. You don't need to move on from some better experience. Why? Because Jesus is the man. Jesus is super. Jesus is fantastic. Jesus is amazing. And so what Paul does in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23, verse 15 to 20 in particular, he presents Jesus in all of his glory. Every single verse is action-packed, full of truths about how fantastic Jesus is. Now, a few weeks ago, we saw from verse 15. Can anyone remember what we saw from verse 15 about who Jesus is and why he's so super? Have a look down. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. Jesus is God from verse 15. Last week, we saw that Jesus is God again, but Jesus is God who did what? Jesus is the God who created the heavens and the earth. All things were made by Jesus and for Jesus. Now, we've seen that he's God. We've seen that he's the one that made everything. And so the question from verse 17, which is the verse in particular we're going to look at tonight, the question is, why is Jesus so much greater than any superhero? Why is Jesus so much greater than any other religion? And there's just one thing I want to say tonight, one reason from this verse. And the reason is because Jesus is in control. Okay, a bit like Aaron's little. Well, every time I say because Jesus is, I want you to stand up and I want you to sort of tilt your body one way and I want you to cross your arms and go, in control. Can you practice it with me now? It's because Jesus is
in control.
Okay, if you don't know, you don't have to stand up. You can just do it from your seat because it looks like it's a long way up for some of you. So tonight we're going to talk about how Jesus is
in control.
No, a deeper voice, okay? Tonight we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus is
in control.
Okay, we're going to look at that in verse 17. Let me read it out to you again. Verse number 17. Carly's already read it out, but I'll read out just 17 for us. Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. Now, you see that there in verse 17? There's some people who say that when God made the world, when God made the universe, he's just left it and then he's walked away. And every so often, God might step in and do some amazing miracle. He might intervene by jumping back into creation and fixing something that's a problem or smashing down some people who have been a bit of a problem. And so people say that God made the world, but he walks away and he just comes back every now and again and intervenes. Now, what this does is it actually takes away God's authority. It takes away God's sovereignty. It takes away the fact that God is in control. You've got to see that Jesus, he isn't a God who's removed from our creation. He's not a God removed from you. He's a God who is actively involved in your life. Even if you don't think about Jesus, Jesus is actively involved in your life. Jesus is actively involved in our creation. Now, just a quick show of hands, hand up if you actually believe in miracles. Okay, hand up if you believe in miracles that they still happen today. Okay, some hands didn't stay up. Now, every day, miracles happen. Not just miracles that someone who can't walk can now walk again. Not just miracles of someone who is blind can now see again. Someone who gets healed of some disease or something like that. But just your heart beating. Beat. 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 Is a miracle from God. The fact that the sun shines is actually a miracle from God. The fact that the fact that you wake up in the morning is a miracle from God. The fact that the doctor that you go to down the road gave you the right medicine so that you're no longer sick, he gave you some antibiotics, you're no longer sick, that's a miracle from God. That's God at work. The fact that cute girl actually likes you is a miracle from God, or that cute guy has actually noticed you is a miracle from God. You see, why do our hearts beat? Why do all those things happen? It's because Jesus is
in control.
You see, Jesus, as it says in the verse there, Jesus holds all things together. He keeps everything together. Jesus is active in keeping the world spinning. Jesus is there spinning it. I got down a world globe this afternoon to bring along tonight and I left it on my desk. But imagine a world globe. It's as if Jesus is there keeping it moving. Keeping it moving. He keeps moving the earth. He keeps it spinning on its axis. Jesus is actively involved in keeping things going, in keeping the earth spinning, in keeping the sun shining, in keeping the rain falling. Why does the earth spin? It's because Jesus is
in control.
Why does the rain fall? It's because Jesus is
in control.
Why does the sun shine? It's because Jesus is
in control.
Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control. You see, Jesus keeps the planet spinning. Jesus keeps your heart beating. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, you don't need to look it up, but you can write it down or you can just listen along. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Did you hear that? How does Jesus keep the world spinning? How does Jesus keep your heart beating? Beat. 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 How does Jesus do that? He does it by his powerful word, is what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. How did Jesus create the world?
He spoke.
Jesus created the world by speaking. Do you know how Jesus keeps the world moving? How he keeps you alive? How he keeps the sun shining? How he keeps the rain falling? By speaking. He speaks and stuff happens. Jesus sustains the universe by his powerful word. I want everyone to grab two fingers like this, whichever hand. Okay, I wanted you to find your carotid artery. It's up around here. Everyone got it? Okay, with your other hand, I want you to put your hand, do this for every beat. Okay, some people's hearts don't look like they're working or they haven't found their pulse yet.
I haven't got one.
Steph's dead. You don't got no pulse. You can look on your wrist, you might be able to find it.
No, but you can't feel like that.
Oh, you can still go. You got your pulse. You can stop now, you can stop now. Every single one of those beat, 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 beat. Or when you're running, beat, 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 beat. Or when you're asleep, beat. Beat. Every single beat of your heart is from Jesus. Every single beat of your heart. Like the fact that your heart keeps going, you can try to explain it scientifically. You can try to explain, the heart keeps pumping, this keeps pumping, the brain keeps sending these things down here. You can say that, or you can just say, Jesus keeps us running. Jesus keeps it beating. Why do our hearts keep beating? It's because Jesus is... Oh, that was very cool. It's because Jesus is...
in control.
Why is it that we wake up in the morning and we're still alive? It's because Jesus is... in control. You see, Jesus is in control of us. He's in control of our lives. Now, we're about to close. It's a short talk tonight. Let me close by asking, what does this mean for us? What does it mean that Jesus keeps our heart beating? What does it mean that Jesus keeps the sun shining? What does it mean that Jesus keeps the world spinning? What does it mean that Jesus holds everything together? What does it mean that Jesus is the sustainer of the universe? Let me tell you what it means. It means whether you like it or not, you need to rely upon Jesus. You need to depend upon Him. The God who made us is the same God who keeps us alive. It's that Jesus. And there's one day when your heart will stop beating, and when you won't be alive on this planet, and the only people that will be living forever with Jesus are those that have willingly trusted themselves to Him. Those who have put their trust in Jesus. And let me close with the final words from chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. We're going to read this every week, and we already have been. It says, once you were alienated from God, verse 21, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Okay, you got the picture of what you once were. Verse 22 is what you've now become. Have a look at it. Verse 22, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Okay, what you were enemies of God. What are you now? You've been reconciled to God because Jesus has died on the cross, is what verse 22 says. Fantastic, Chris. Verse 23, there's a big if. The big if is, have a look at it, verse 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard. How is it that we can be with God forever? It's by continuing to trust in Jesus. You were once dead, you've now been made alive. If you want to, you need to keep on trusting in Jesus. Let me encourage you to do that tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian, maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus before. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Whichever one you are, if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you tonight to put your trust in Jesus. He's the one that made you. And He's the one who's in control. He's the one who's keeping you alive. He's the one that you need to depend on. You need to rely upon. Let me urge you tonight to put your trust in Jesus. If you've already got your trust in Jesus, let me encourage you to keep your trust in Jesus. Let me encourage you to keep living for Him who made you, who keeps you alive, who died for you, who was raised again. I'm going to pray. If you agree, say amen. Dear God, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that He made us. We thank You that He keeps us alive and keeps everything together. And we pray that You help us to acknowledge Him as our King, that we would live for Him, that we would trust in Him. We thank You that we were once dead but have now been made alive. And we pray that You help us to keep on trusting in Jesus. I pray for people here tonight who may not yet know Jesus and ask that tonight You convict them and that they would come to trust in Jesus. And for the rest of us, we ask that You help us to keep trusting in Jesus and to keep living for Him. The one who is in control of everything. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Okay, I simply want you to split up into groups. Feel free to talk about some of this stuff, but I want you to pray. I want you to pray about the stuff you've just heard. Maybe pray for the Vinks again. That'd be a really good thing to do. Literally just for 5 minutes or so. Catch up in your groups. If you don't know which group to go to, come and see me and I'll pull you in the right direction.